Welcome back to Mavericks and Misfits, my friends. It's Jeff Lyle coming to you from Bethlehem, Georgia, in our little mini studio out here where we most frequently record Mavericks and Misfits. And hope you're doing pretty good, man. We are in summer. It is happening, summer of 2024. And guess what's that? What that's pointing towards? The fall of 2024. And the on the calendar biggest event for fall of 2024 will be the United States presidential election. And man, has the chaos begun. Going back to the beginning of the Trump trial, the first of many that his opponents have somehow woven together to keep him from having any possibility of ever becoming president again. And we are already in the thick of things. Normally, I don't spend a ton of time talking about American politics. It's not that I'm disinterested. I'm actually quite interested. And I, pray accordingly. But I am a pragmatist when it comes to American politics. What do I mean by that? Well, the amount of heat, the amount of rhetoric, the amount of infighting with among Christians over, American politics, to me, it's just not worth getting in the thick of things. And I'm going to tell you why. You don't have to agree with me. I know some of you wish I would talk much more about American politics than I do. But ultimately, this is what my conclusion has been for many years. No matter how much I talk about it, no matter how strongly I feel about it, pragmatically, I have one vote. At the end of the day, whether I speak about it without stopping for months and months and months, whether I get amped up at high emotional levels, or whether I keep my mouth shut and I'm calm and peaceful about it, when it comes time, I personally have one vote and I'm going to cast it. And well, people would then say, well, Jeff, what about your responsibility to inform, the Christians under your care, following your leadership? Well, what I say to them is, hey, at the end of the day, you get one vote. You get one vote. And so no matter what you feel about it, no matter what you think about it, whether you're dispassionate or whether you are inflamed over American politics, when it's all said and done, you get one vote. And so does everybody else around you. And in case you haven't noticed, nobody's changing anybody's minds through, our low level. Most of us don't have this massive influence with human beings. And so all it is an echo chamber. Let's just say you post something on Facebook that is pinpoint accurate. Maybe it just explodes upon the opposite end of the political aisle from which you sit. Maybe you make your position strongly. Maybe you have all the facts on your side and you are going hard after what the other side believes. Did you notice that nobody's listening? And it's not that nobody reads what you post or listens to what you say. It's that you're not changing anybody's minds. And so what we've got is we've got two really intense echo chambers. You got the left and you got the right. You got the Democrats and you got the Republicans. And whereas, again, I have very, very strong political opinions. I'm an actual independent. I'm not a registered Republican. I'm not a registered Democrat. But if you listen to my podcast or my preaching or teaching, I'm a conservative. That I just absolutely toe the line on conservative biblical moral values. The sanctity of life is an issue that is of the most importance to me. I could never vote for a Democratic candidate that they are actually pressing for more rights to kill babies, and they're not even hiding it anymore, that they'll kill them within hours of being born or even after they're born. And I'm not going to vote for any candidate that's going to make that possible. So I don't even feel like I need 100 spiritual gifts to discern that one. Even if I wasn't a believer, just having the common mercy and compassion for defenseless life would tell me that's not a value that is held by the left. But there's so much more than that. And so, look, I'm not trying to hide what I believe. I'm just not going to spend all my time thinking about it. And I'm not going to spend all my time using my words for it when that's not my call. My call is to magnify Jesus Christ. My call is to call people to repentance. My call is to preach and teach the word of God, not through a political lens, but through the lens of the second coming of Jesus, where he's going to destroy all human politics and establish his throne. A monarchy is coming to planet Earth, so I'm not going to give the best of my energies. I have very limited time left. I'm not as young as I once was. And even with my energy levels and the, you know, demand on my time, I just don't want to get caught up in it. But I'm going to tell you in today's podcast, the number one reason why I'm not going to give myself to the political spirit of the age this year, and why I'm going to strongly encourage you to opt out of the hostile drama that is going to accompany American politics for the next several months in our nation. The number one reason why I just don't do it anymore, and yes, I used to. The last time I got really, really political from my position of being a preacher, a teacher, a leader in local churches, last time was President Obama's second term. And I spoke out very intensely about the potential for him being elected a second time because of his values. And the Lord took me down a private pathway. It lasted about 6 weeks. And he clarified to me what my calling is and what my calling isn't. And as much as I preached that year against the values of the Democratic Party as represented by Barack Obama, you can open up a history book in case you've forgotten. He got elected. And in my opinion, it did great damage to our nation. And it's just been getting worse. But ultimately, the Lord showed me, hey, Jeff, that's actually not what I've called you to do. You're not a politician. You're not a campaign spokesperson. You're a herald of the gospel. You need to preach and teach the word of God. And you can address the issues that politics, they kind of have hijacked a lot of the issues and made them into political footballs when they're actually biblical issues. And so I will preach and teach unapologetically on the issues from a biblical standpoint. But then, hallelujah, I get to tell people, hey, now that you've been informed biblically, you need to make up your mind. And people do. Most people's minds are made up long before they hear from their preacher, teacher, apostle, pastor, prophet. And so, yeah, here's the number one reason why I'm not going to do it anymore. Why I'm not going to allow politics, the insanity of the culture, the heated rhetoric, the fighting between Americans, the left gouging the right and the right slamming the left. I'm just not going to spend my time doing that. And the reason why is very simple. Listen to me. Write it down if you need to. Doing so robs me of my peace. I lose my peace. When I let the spirit of the age infect me, I lose the peace that Jesus Christ died, rose, and came to indwell me in order that I might have. I lose it. I forfeit it. It's not that it's robbed from me. It's that I give it away when I make earthly things my consuming focus. So I'm not going to do it anymore. What am I going to do? Well, I want to talk to you not just about, you know, the politics. I think that was my on-ramp today. But there are tons of issues that demand that you think on them. There are many, many streams that want to flow into the reservoir of your heart and have you hold their waters there. And some of those waters, most of those waters, are extremely polluted. So I don't want polluted streams filling up the reservoir of my heart where my spirit drinks from pollution. And I've got to make sure I remember at all times that the responsibility to protect my own peace, that responsibility is mine. It's nobody else's. Some people in the body of Christ have the right doctrine. They have the right morals. They have the right politics, but they have no peace because they are consumed by all these things that are in the atmosphere in the United States of America. And they disobey Colossians chapter 3, which tells us to seek those things which are above, not things of the earth, and to set our affection on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Those are commands. Those are not options. Those are commands. Seek that which is from above, not the things of earth. Set your affections, your longings, on the things where Christ sits at the right hand of God. They're commands. Those are commands, just like thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. All these imperatives that are in the scripture, Colossians 3 tells you with the same authority behind them, do not set your minds and your affections on the things of earth. It's the difference between a glance and a gaze. If you're gazing at something, you're fixed intently upon it. If you glance at something, you're aware of it, but you then remove your attention off of it onto something better. Paul wrote this in the book of Philippians chapter 4. He said, finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. There it is again. It's a command in the scriptures that tell me what to think upon. And when I study those out, and I've been doing this for years, but I just go back from time to time and make sure I'm obeying. When I look at these things and it's telling me these are the things you are to set your mind on, you are to intentionally place your mind on these types of things, that means I can't put my mind on things that don't fit in those categories. And so literally, here's my big point today. You are the determining arbiter of your own levels of peace. You get to determine the amount of peace you experience. And if you will obey the scriptures, you will find that your internal peace skyrockets. Your anxiety dies. Your hostility dies. Your agitation in your soul dies. And the reason why I know this is true is because, one, the Bible says it's true. And number two, because I've experienced it. I've lived in both worlds. I've lived as a Christian with an agitated soul. And I've lived as a Christian with a very peaceful soul. And I have learned that the difference between the agitated soul and the peaceful soul is almost always, what is that Christian putting his or her mind upon? So when Paul tells us in Philippians 4:8, these are the things you must put your mind on. He says in the next verse, in verse 9, Philippians 4:9, the things that you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. And then he says, here's the result. And the God of peace will be with you. So to have the peace of God, to have the God of peace with you, is impacted by what you allow to dominate your mind. So some of you are already ahead of me in this podcast. You're already saying, what am I thinking about? And by the way, I just chose politics as an on-ramp because it's kind of like the elephant in the room that is looming. It's coming down the pike at us at a rapid clip. And the closer we get to the election day, the more anxiety, hostility, and tension you're going to see. You know, we record these podcasts a little bit in advance. So by the time I, release this one, by the time you're listening to it, who knows what's happened? I mean, who knows? You're going to have to, be aware from week to week what's going on. Be aware of it. Just don't get consumed by it. You're not going to stop it. And you're not going to help it. This is humbling, but I need you to hear it. You and I are very small. And only through the work of the Holy Spirit, only through the work of God, are we able to make the differences that our lives are destined to make. And very few, if any, listening to this podcast, are called of God to make a large tsunami-sized wave into the world of the American culture. More than likely, God wants you to make a difference in the lives of the people that are around you. And you don't have to be at level 10 agitation and intensity for that to occur. And I would just risk it and say, and I could be wrong on this, but probably none of us, you nor me, nor anybody else listening, is going to be the primary person that shapes a nation's political views. So maybe we should quit trying to act like that that's our call. Now, I can already feel like some of y'all like getting bristly on this because you don't realize how wrapped up in politics you already are. You don't even realize how intensely borderline idolatrous your politics have become in your heart. When in the end, you know what you're going to have? You're going to have the same right as other American citizens. You're going to cast one vote. Maybe you influence a handful of people, but is putting your clear walk with Jesus on hold for the rest of 2024 so you can fixate and obsess over politics, is that really worth the two or three people you're going to influence? I would say no. So let's talk about these things that he told us, Paul in Philippians 4:8 told us to put our minds on. Like, he straight up told us that we are to prioritize peace in the heart. Prioritizing your peace in your heart is your responsibility and God's expectation over you. So when we're told, think about these kinds of things, think about whatever is true, think about what's honorable, think about what is pure and lovely, think about the things that are worthy of commendation, that are things that rise to excellence and praiseworthy things. Paul said, please, my fellow Christians, fix your mind on these things. Think about these kinds of things. So clearly, achieving our inner peace doesn't happen without our own full cooperation. Some of y'all are waiting on peace, but you're going down pathways and you're allowing your mind to rest on things that have no peace. They have the opposite of peace. They actually are a hand that robs you of peace. And you keep going back to those places, wondering when you leave why you don't have peace. It's because you're showing up at the thief's house with all of your goods. So he doesn't even have to come and get them. By virtue of you giving your mind to things that don't profit you, you're actually handing over your treasures of peace to the thief. Your peace is experienced in your heart. It's experienced in your mind. It's experienced or not experienced in your soul. Now, the Word of God doesn't actually neatly divide the heart, the mind, and the soul. But what we're able to clearly see is that there's a process. And in this process, external influences impact your internal state. Things on the outside of you can impact what is going on inside of you. And God says, guard the gate. Paul is telling us right there in Philippians 4, continually think upon certain types of things. That requires your intentionality. You actually have to put a guard around your mind. You have to put a regulator on your heart. You have to determine and stay aware and vigilant what is coming in at this moment. What do I need to regulate? What do I need to moderate? What do I need to assassinate? Regulate, moderate, and assassinate. I think you've got to assassinate some of these things that keep bringing you turmoil in your soul. Just for clarity, I'm not talking about physical violence. I'm not talking about killing people. I'm talking about you've got to get spiritually radical and say, I'm actually not going to watch that anymore. I'm actually not going to read that anymore. I'm actually not going to listen to that anymore. I'm actually not going to allow this person to infect me with their constant drama, and I'm not going to give my mind to things that are plundering my peace. So I think that the point I'm trying to make is that the status of our hearts depends on what we give our thoughts to. So we can't allow inferior things into our minds and yet reasonably expect to live with peace. Everything that you allow into your mind has a high impact on your soul, either for good or for not good. So you're either building inward peace or you're reducing your inward peace. You're giving it away. So Paul says, center your own mind on things that are true. What does that mean? When he says, think on whatever is true, well, listen, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. We know from the Word of God that the Word of God itself is true. What God says is true. And Paul says, you need to be thinking according to the terms of what God, the God of the Bible, says is true. The level of deception that is coming through politics and entertainment and education in America is antichrist. That just means it's not true. It stands against everything God is and everything God says. And some of y'all are getting your convictions whittled away month by month by listening to what is true, what is not true. And you're no longer thinking like God does. And by the way, that's why you are losing your peace, because you are compromised in your values, because you no longer think, you no longer intentionally think and put a guard on your mind concerning what is true and what is false. And so the culture today is starting to question everything, and they say it loudly, they say it repeatedly, and depending on what streams you allow into your mind, you may not even realize that you're losing your biblical convictions because you've listened way too much to the world. I mean, if I went back 20 years and I started telling people back then, hey, there's more than two genders, people would have thought, I'm bananas. You're nuts, man. You got a demon. You're crazy. But now we have entire denominations not only validating that, but advancing that kind of mindset. Multiple genders. Pedophilia. I remember saying this years ago. Watch, pedophilia is going to be normalized in America. I don't even know that it was necessarily prophetic. I'm following the trends. And, you know, people that 20 years ago never would have considered pedophilia normal, now we're calling it, you know, minor attracted people. Not pedophiles, not perverts, not criminals that want to have sex with children. But we're calling them, these are just minor attracted people. That's straight up from hell. Straight from the pit of hell. And yet it's so common now and so normalized now that a lot of Christians, you know, they're no longer holding to the truth of that. Now, that may be an extreme case. I'm sure that none of my listeners are like advancing pedophilia, but are you advancing the homosexual agenda? Are you okay with heterosexuals sleeping around, men and women that aren't married to each other? You think that's normal? You think that's okay with God? Well, that's why you don't have peace. And especially if you're engaged in it, if you're having sex with somebody you're not married to, you're giving your peace away because you're not thinking on what is true. You've rationalized your way into a sinful pattern of thinking, which resulted in a sinful pattern of behavior. And so we live in a world of deception, and if you are constantly opening your mind to streams of deception, then that necessarily means you are not a person any longer of the truth. You're compromised. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Now, those are easier. The black and white issues, true and false and truth and error, those are easier to diagnose. I think the other categories may not be. You know, Paul, back in Philippians 4:8, he says, I want all of you to think on those things that are superior. He says, whatever is honorable. That's the word in the ESV, honorable. It just means to elevate your thoughts to that which holds honor. It implies reverence or dignity or nobility. It's excellence. Like, go up higher with your thoughts. So, Jeff, I don't know what that means. Well, it's the opposite of TMZ. Now, I've never watched TMZ, but sometimes those little things pop up on social media feeds and you get a vibe of that it's just about sensationalism and scandal and little titillating thoughts of, ooh, look at what this superstar is saying and doing, and it's about voyeurism and paparazzi and the lifestyles of the rich and famous and the decadent and the hypersexualized and the, you know, all the drama attached to it. Man, if you are soaking that stuff in, your heart's polluted. And by the way, I don't care if this sounds like a crotchety old man. I don't give a rip. What I'm telling you is that if your mind is regularly given to polluted streams of things that lack dignity, lack reverence, lack nobility, lack honor, lack excellence, you've got contaminants in your heart, and it will make your heart on some level sick. And the symptom of that heart sickness will be that you're losing your peace. You'll find agitation in your soul. Paul goes on, and he tells him also, think on what things are holy, whatever things are pure and lovely. Like, you give your mind to the things of purity. Like, you don't allow things to get into your mind that are impure. And it's not just about sexual stuff. To me, man, that's kind of like, have we not settled that argument? So people like embrace this stuff by degrees. One person thinks, well, I'm not looking at porn, but you'll watch a makeout movie with naked people, even though there's no penetration on camera. You're watching like naked bodies rolling around, or like heavy duty making out sessions. You can't watch that with Jesus. Jesus is not going to watch that. But we get diluted. And we look around and we're like, well, it's no big deal because this other Christian that I think has a pretty tight walk with Jesus, she's watching it. He's watching it. Or we watch extreme violence. We watch bodies getting blown apart and gore and horror that always carries an element of the demonic with it. Those things aren't pure and lovely. Like, guys, this is the time for you to straight up make up your mind concerning to whom your heart actually belongs. Does it belong to you? Or did you, as they say, give your heart to Jesus? You know, for the sake of this argument, I'll use that phrase. I don't love that phrase when it comes to inviting people to bow to Christ. But when you give your heart to Jesus, you give your life to Jesus, you can't keep indulging in things that are impure, unlovely, and unholy. Holy Spirit in you gets grieved. You'll feel the grief unless you've hardened your heart. You'll feel the grief of the Holy Spirit in you. He will upset your peace. He can't be at peace with polluted streams filling the heart in which he lives. And it will agitate your soul to the core. And then Paul's like, he goes on in Philippians 4 and says, I want you to set your mind on things that are worthy. Commendable. Again, excellent, if there's anything worthy of praise. So what I'm talking about here is, are you aware of what you are giving your mind to during the course of a 24-hour time period? What are the normal places? Like, literally, what are the songs you're listening to? Because that impacts your soul. It goes in and it stays in on some level. It doesn't pass through one ear and out the other. It leaves deposits in you. Oh my goodness, this was a hard one for me. So I can maybe seem a little bit more realistic to you. I remember when I got saved, you know, the Lord told me basically burn all my CDs, you know, get rid of all my CDs. And because music was a massive part of my life, and all of the music that I had been listening to up to the age of 24 was music that had no value, no redeeming value whatsoever. It was actually antichrist music. And when I say that, I mean it was just against Christ. It was complete opposite of his values. And so I got rid of all the really clearly decadent stuff. But over the years, I would like to sentimentally listen to a few songs that would take me back nostalgically. And like, this wasn't even like, I wasn't listening to decadent music, but I wasn't guarding my soul. I wasn't remaining aware that when I listen to that song, it reminds me of this season in my life and the feelings, the emotions, the values of that season that are crucified with Christ. When I came to Christ, I'm resurrecting them. I'm bringing them back into play when I listen to a song that takes me back to the late 80s, the mid 80s, the early 80s, the early 90s. And whatever I was feeling back then as a lost person, as a person who wasn't walking with God, and those songs are attached to memories and events in my life, I'm just resurrecting what Jesus crucified, and so it would rob me of my peace. I'll never forget, Amy got in my truck one day, and I was listening to a song by Counting Crows off the Murderer One album. And it wasn't necessarily, the song itself, the lyrics were not sinful, but they were really sad. The song was sad. The melody was sad. The music was sad. And Amy, I had my phone plugged up. This is just a few years ago. I had my phone plugged up. Amy hops in, and that's, I turn on the truck, and it starts playing that song. And she's like, "What is that?" I'm like, "Oh, that's Counting Crows. That was a band I used to listen to." And she goes, "Well, no wonder you were depressed all the time." And that little off, just kind of tongue-in-cheek comment that Amy, she only heard like 5 seconds of the song. And she knew in 5 seconds that the spirit on that song was not consistent with the spirit of God that lives in her husband. And that one little phrase made me really realize, I'm feeding my soul with stuff that's not healthy. So guys, again, be aware of what's robbing you of your peace. I pick on politics because that's the big one, man. Like, Christians go lose their ever-loving minds every 4 years in America. And they refuse to consider that politics in and of itself can steal, and typically does steal, your peace. It makes it harder for you to love people that disagree with you politically. It makes you judge their soul, because a lot of people are so strongly politically motivated in America that they think that somebody that disagrees with them on the issues must not be saved. So instead of the blood of Jesus, which levels us all, humbles us all, brings us all to a place of dying to ourselves, instead of that being what unites us, churches split over the left and right politics. And both sides are equally guilty. Most of the people that I'm with in church are more right-leaning than left-leaning. And I've seen it from the right going against the left. I've seen it from the left going against the right. And Jesus, I believe, is deeply grieved that when we actually sully and dirty and contaminate the purity of what he's done by framing it up in a political context. And the Holy Spirit's like, "Yeah, I can't bless that. I'm out. I'm not going to be able to give you peace when this is your life for the next however many months." So closing up, let me just say this. If you and I can place that Philippians 4:8 filter across our minds, whatever things are true, think on that. Whatever is honorable, think on that. Whatever is pure and lovely, think on that. Whatever is worthy of condemnation, if it's excellent and worthy of praise, think on that, and the God of peace will be with you. And if we'll place that kind of filter across our minds, our personal peace will grow. Anxiety will not grow. It'll starve out. Agitation of soul will die. If we will think through the filter of whatever is true, honorable, pure, lovely, commendable, excellent, and worthy of praise, if you fix your mind, not casually, but if you go ahead and say, if it's not that kind of thing, I'm not letting it get into my mind. When you do that, your peace will begin to exponentially grow. But if you're negligent in that area, and you allow teachings or ideas, philosophies, politics, entertainment, music, if you allow the type of those things that degrade our peace, and if you allow that to get into your thought life, you're going to lose your peace. It's a cause and effect, because our minds are designed by God to not normally remain in neutral. You're always thinking about something. Even if you're asleep, you're thinking about something. But and so if you refuse to give your mind to unworthy things, then your mind is unable to influence the condition of your heart. And if you treasure your own personal peace, and I hope you do, because Jesus died to bring you peace. If you treasure that, you're going to consecrate the gate of your mind to Christ. You're going to say, "I'm going to protect what comes into my mind as I consecrate it to Christ, and I'm not going to allow things to enter that are inconsistent with who Jesus Christ, my Lord, is in me." So I hope this is helpful for you today. It may have upset you a little bit. That's okay. I forgive you. That's okay. I've made people upset before. I'm just telling you the truth. I expect you to wrestle with it. I especially want to ask Christians to lay your politics on the altar and slay them under the glory of God. Lay your politics on the altar. I didn't say don't vote. I didn't say don't have political values. I didn't say don't be deeply dedicated and prayerful, fasting and praying for the politics and the leaders of this nation. I just said don't worship them And don't wear that as the primary lens through which you see life. Because there's something better. Your lesser loyalties have got to die. Lay them on the altar. And then when it comes November, vote. 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 But you only get one. No matter how intensely you feel about it, you only get one vote. So vote. And until then, pray. Until then, in your personal conversations with people, if you have open doors, talk to them. Tell them why you believe the way you do. Use as much Bible as possible. Talk about the issues from a biblical standpoint, not from a political standpoint. And I just want to go ahead and tell you, stop railing against the other side of the aisle. It's boring. Everybody does it. Nobody makes a difference by railing on the other side of the aisle. Nobody's going to say, man, I was a fiery Republican until these Democrats beat me to death with their words and I finally wanted to become a Democrat. Oh, I was a Democrat until those Republicans just gnashed on me with their teeth so much on Facebook that I finally repented and became a happy Republican. That's so silly. Pray like crazy. Fast. Ask God to turn this nation through an awakening that'll come through the church. And welcome the peace of God to rest in you. We'll talk to you next time on Mavericks and Misfits.
Thank you for listening to today's Mavericks and Misfits podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, please subscribe, rate, and review Mavericks and Misfits with Jeff Lyle on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. Your review helps us to reach more people and spread the unfiltered message of Jesus. And don't forget that you can connect with Jeff's social media links at maverickmisfit.com. We look forward to reconnecting with you on our next episode.